SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
And what a Monday you have chosen to join us here on Football Full Circle. That is FFC, and it's all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. For this next hour, despite being some college football guys, which we will hit on in the final minutes of our show, from the final weekend in October, Joe, the Week 8 Sunday slate in the National Football League. No team had a bye. The largest Sunday slate of the year. 14 games, 28 teams in action did not disappoint. Some teams were disappointing. Others made statements. I can guarantee you one thing, though. There is going to be a lot of slander flying around with some reactionary takes on this Monday in this next hour. It is going to be fun, Joe.
I can't wait, Ben. Week number 8 of the NFL. I mean, what a great weekend of college and NFL action. But you talk about that 1 o'clock slate, right? We saw Detroit dominate as an 11.5-point home favorite over Tennessee, proving that they're not just one of the best teams in the NFC, but just maybe all of the NFL. And how about famous Jameis, right? Unbelievable outcome in Cleveland. He steps up, Deshaun Watson out. Jameis Winston in, and they get the outright win as an 8.5-point dog over one of the hottest teams in the NFL. And then the New York Jets. The New York Jets, huh? They entered that game with Big Bad Aaron. And don't forget Tay. Don't forget Tay Adams. Unbelievable. 7-point favorites, the team that won. Four straight games. We were acting like this was an AFC champion. Smashed by the New England Patriots. A gutty home win to give the Pats their first home win of the 2024 season. It wasn't Robert Saleh. It wasn't anybody else but Big Bad Aaron running that organization. How you like me now?
No doubt about it, Lisi guy. There will be a ton of slanderous takes coming the way of Aaron Rodgers and Gangrene in just a little bit. But Lisi, the one game you didn't mention because it wasn't in the early window, it was flexed out to 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. The matchup of 1 versus 2. The fact that Jaden Daniels, the second overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, even was able to play dealing with a rib injury, that was one thing. The fact that he outdueled the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, for 3.5 quarters, that was the other. The fact that it came down to the final play in regulation in a Hail Mary in Landover, that the main thing from Sunday outside the nation's capital. The Commanders beat the Bears 18-15. A 52-yard Hail Mary after time expires from Jaden Daniels, tipped kind of, but by Tyreek Stevenson into the waiting arms of Washington's Noah Brown in the end zone. Joe, there is so much to take away from a singular play from 4 seconds in the National Football League. The Commanders are 6-2. They are perfect at home. They have covered in all 6 victories. And Matt Eberfluser, Shane Waldron, and Tyreek Stevenson should all be looking for unemployment and a new job as of this Monday.
Unbelievable. You know what I immediately, when I saw the play out, I thought back to college football. You know me, 1994, Michael Westbrook and Cordell Stewart. That's exactly what I thought. I mean, unbelievable. Jaden Daniels, the legend continues. Offensive player, rookie of the year, best quarterback in this draft class. I said it, not you, not K-Dubs, me. 372 total yards. The kid's dealing aces. Washington close to their win total. 6.5 was their preseason win total. 6-2. This team isn't just a wild card contender.
Nope.
They're an NFC East contender. And after Dallas lost last night, it's the Eagles and Washington doing battle. Nothing better. I'll just say this. Matt Eberflus, he's not a good coach. Him, Dennis Allen, and he proved that in the final 8 minutes of that matchup yesterday.
Listen, there will be a lot of slander coming the way of Chicago in just moments. There is no slander for the Commanders. Jaden Daniels has won Offensive Rookie of the Year unless he doesn't play another snap and Caleb Williams goes berserk or somebody else steps up. It is his award. He has the head-to-head, he has that advantage, and he has the moment that will be remembered, the Hail Mary to Noah Brown. He threw for 326 yards with an injured rib and was sensational, still utilizing the legs. Caleb Williams had thrown for 36 yards in the opening three quarters, figured something out in the fourth and final to lead Chicago back. Again, we'll get to the Bears in just moments. But Joe, to your point, Washington is not just a winning football team that has sneaked out a couple of games. The Commanders are 6-2. They have covered in all six victories, currently in the top spot in the NFC East. The Eagles remain the favorites in the division, but Washington is a single victory away from going over its preseason win total of 6.5, and they're a minus 290 favorite to make the postseason. Joe, I would say it feels as though the Commanders will factor into the playoff race, and they could contend for that NFC East division.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a difference a year makes and what a difference a coach and a newfound owner makes for that organization, right?
Yeah.
They were a loser organization for 20 plus years. Ron Rivera, that team was absolutely gutless last year. Dan Quinn comes in with a second life. The team buys into the mentality. You bring in Cliff Kingsbury. You bring in a dynamic playmaker and Jaden Daniels. That's what a quarterback does. It's not just the play on the field. The team looks at Jaden Daniels, Ben, as the leader and the face of the franchise. He's living up to expectations. He's won everywhere he's played, and this is a great story for the 2024 season.
Now minus 450 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Caleb Williams was only 15 cents back entering Sunday. It's now 10-1. Don't just listen to me when I say Daniels has already started etching his name into the hardware. The odds makers agree. Now, Lisi, to Chicago. I'm sure everybody has seen the viral clip as of right now. It will go down as one of the funniest and most dramatic plays in the history of the National Football League. Tyreek Stevenson, cornerback for the Bears, jawing with Commanders fans, not before the play, even in a crucial moment, but after the ball was snapped. And as Jaden Daniels is starting to let his receivers get down to the end zone, he was out of the defensive scheme, a scheme that was awful to begin with. They had a spy. Lisi, guy, they had four guys on the line of scrimmage, and they were spying Jaden Daniels just in case after the clock hit triple zeros, he decided to scramble. Good. Give him 11 yards and a slide on the turf. Matt Eberflus is lost as a head coach. He cost the Bears this game. Tyreek Stevenson, after realizing, oh, there's a play happening that could end the game, tries to get back into the action, swats at the ball, barely hits it, tips it up, and into the arms of Noah Brown. Both should no longer be a member of the Chicago organization. And Shane Waldron, when you have your backup center check in as a fullback and you hand him the football and he fumbles it at the goal line, when you have Roschon Johnson, who's 6'3", 240 back there, who did score the go-ahead touchdown for the Bears in the final half minute, by the way, and still before he did that, he drew up a fade route in the end zone. I mean, that guy should be taking his stuff out to pasture right now. The Bears coaching staff is costing this team. They're four wins against teams that have a combined record of 7-23. I'm this heated, Joe, about Chicago. I'm not even a Bears fan.
Yeah, I know, but I told you for years, Matt Eberflus, the human anchor, he'll drag down anybody and any team. He did it again yesterday. Chopped!
It's gotta happen at this point. The Bears still have a winning record. They are 4-3. DeAndre Swift has been a revelation. Outside of that, it's more pain for the Bears, for a franchise and a fan base that thought they had experienced it all. Aaron Rodgers, you're up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Final point on the Hail Mary in Landover, Maryland yesterday that gives the Commanders their sixth win in eight games this year. Joe, it should not be a take or a hot take at this point. You need to pressure the quarterback on Hail Mary. See what the Texans did to Anthony Richardson and the Colts at the end of their game on Sunday. See what the Lions did against the Vikings a week before. If you bring four or five guys, the quarterback does not have all day to let his receivers run 45, 50, 55 yards down the field. And your intention is to always pressure the QB so you can make things uncomfortable. And just the way that football works with 11 guys on the field, if you have five offensive linemen and one quarterback, at most you will have five receivers trying to make a ridiculous play for a Hail Mary. Even if you bring five rushers to try to pressure the quarterback, you still have more guys out there outnumbering the wide receivers. What they did yesterday, obviously Tyreek Stevenson is a different component of this, and a video that will not look very kind. He did issue an apology to Bears fans yesterday. But the fact that Matt Eberflus had a spy is one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to Matt Eberflus being simply a better coordinator than he is a head coach. I'm sorry. Team's not prepared. Just some of the calls that he's made, not just this year, but over the course of the previous seasons. Yep. When he had Justin Fields, and think about it. You had the opportunity to score that touchdown. You put it in a backup center. The guy fumbles. You're trying to do William Perry 2.0 40 years later. I mean, just makes absolutely no sense.
Zero.
You know, and again, when you look at big picture, this team had an 8.5 win total. We said it. The problem, and this is, I feel bad for the Chicago Bears fans, Ben, because, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, you can't keep Eberflus. Right?
No.
So now you get rid of him, and now you're going to put Caleb in the same situation that Justin Fields was in over the past few seasons. It's a joke.
New head coach, more than likely new offensive scheme to figure out for both of his years in the NFL. I agree, Joe. Again, the Bears are a winning football team. They are 4-3, but all four victories against teams that are combined 7-23 after 8 weeks. All right, now let's get to one of the earlier games in the day. The Jets, a touchdown favorite in Foxborough against a one-win Patriots team that had not covered since its outright victory in week number one against the Bengals. Joe, we have been saying for weeks and weeks, this is a game the Jets must have. This is a game the Jets can ill afford to lose. But entering Sunday, we thought this would be the one they get. Even if it's ugly, they would come out with an outright win. Not you, my friend. You thought the Pats might be able to pull off the upset. And Ramondre Stevenson on fourth and goal from the one in the final 30 seconds powers across the pylon. The New England Patriots win their first home game of the year, 25-22 over the Jets.
Yeah, amazing. And the reason why I like the Patriots, Ben, is because they hadn't won at home. They're a young team with a first-year head coach. They started Drake May. There was a lot of still optimism, players, you know, fighting for jobs and still buying into the system. On the flip side, you had a beaten-down Jets team with no head coach. Jeff Ulbrich as an interim head coach, not knowing what to do because he answers to Aaron Rodgers and nobody else. And this team not running the football consistently. You know, Breece Hall had a dynamic game when they lost to the Steelers, but it wasn't on the ground. It was through the air, catching over 100 yards and making yards after catching the football. This offensive line has struggled. The team has no identity. And oh, by the way, that dominant defense that everybody was raving about, all you got to do is put Tay in the lineup. Guess what? They have regressed since Robert Saleh is now with Green Bay. So I don't want to hear how great they are. They're checked out. This team's going nowhere. And you know what? They'd be happy at this point in the season to potentially win six or seven games.
A season that began with a win total of 9.5 and the over has the juice is now at 6.5. A season that began despite the Jets missing the postseason for 13 consecutive years with AFC title or perhaps even Super Bowl aspirations is done by the end of October. I am never going to believe the Jets will win a football game as they actively, as a franchise, have found ways to lose the last 3 weeks, the last 13 plus seasons. I don't know who you blame any longer. I know who is not to blame. Robert Saleh. Aaron Rodgers wears the pants in the organization. Thus, ultimately, it falls on his decision-making, both on the field and in the front office. Yesterday, he wasn't bad. 17 of 28, 233, and 2 touchdowns. Joe, you can't really point to him. He was only sacked once. They moved the football okay on the ground. Garrett Wilson got involved. Devontae Adams not really making a difference. 4 grabs for 54 yards. The New York Jets, though, Joe. The New York Jets are the first team in NFL history out of 751 chances of this sample size. They are the only one of 751 to score 20-plus points, to hold their opponent to 250 yards or less, and not turn the football over to lose a game. That is what they do. They actively come up with new ways to lose, even games you would expect them to win comfortably. The Jets are done. They're 2-6. The Patriots are 2-6. The Jets are done. I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers and everything that has been invested into him has set this organization back. There wasn't much to move this organization forward in the last decade and a half. I know it has not been worth the investment in Aaron Rodgers. Joe, it is just incredible to see how bad a mismanaged franchise can be when a 40-year-old quarterback who cares more about ayahuasca than football calls all the shots.
Yeah, you're right. And it starts with Woody allowing this to happen, right? So obviously the owner is to blame because he gave the autonomy to Aaron Rodgers to do what he wants, right? Secondly, it is on Aaron Rodgers in the sense, not his play on the field as much, but it's his locker room presence because he forced Robert Saleh out. He forced Nate Hackett to be his guy. He wanted Alan Lazard and all the ex-veterans from Green Bay. This is on him, Ben.
It is. Greg Zuerlein, an awful kicker. Out of all the changes that have been made to this team in the last 2 weeks, how does he still have a job? It's just bad. It is just bad for the New York Jets, and they're going to continue their postseason drought that is historic and make it 14 years at the end of this season. More around the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC. Now we go elsewhere around the Sunday slate in the National Football League. Joe, quickly to Sunday Night Football, a matchup of former NFC rivals and iconic brands in the sport that both entered playing pretty mediocre and average football so far this season. In Santa Clara, the 49ers hosted the Cowboys. Dallas was off a bye, even 500, 3-3. All three wins this year for the boys, away from the star and on the road. The Niners entered a game below 500 and looking to figure things out despite all of their offensive woes and injuries. San Francisco is now an even 500, and Dallas is the team with a losing record as San Fran wins 30-24. The 49ers cover as a 5.5-point favorite. Total of 47.5 goes over. San Francisco, Joe, a favorite in all 8 games this season. Every game from a season ago as well. They have covered in all 4 wins this year, have the 49ers, and they have gone over in all 4 wins. Big win for San Francisco last night, but more issues for Dallas. Rico Dowdle, late scratch, offense inept. Dak Prescott, multiple interceptions again. A rushing offense that looks lifeless. And the Cowboys, who at least we used to give them credit for winning a lot of games in the regular season, despite their playoff shortcomings, they're now sub 500.
Yeah, and they have multiple issues. I mean, Zimmer and that defense are atrocious. Dak still in big games, you know, especially against San Francisco. The turnover woes, throwing the football up for grabs, you know, allowing interceptions, just atrocious in that respect. You know, they made it close. They had the ball with an opportunity to potentially win it. They can't close it out. And it's early on Monday, but I still think Mike McCarthy could be fired before the week is over. I mean, at the end of the day, this team has no identity. They're not going anywhere, and now they're starting to implode. Trayvon Diggs calling out a reporter. The locker room's lost. At this point, that was a team too, Ben, that was 3-0 on the road. So now you're starting to lose on the road. And I said it, if you couldn't beat the 49ers last night with all of the concerns and issues that they had had, Debo in the hospital that week, Kittle, you know, banged up, and Ayuk, I mean, when are you going to beat them? You know, I mean, and Brock Purdy coming off a 3-interception game, and at one point with 8 minutes left in the fourth, they're down 17 points. I mean, give me a break. Offensive line is atrocious. Dalvin Cook, they scrape him up for 12 yards. Zeke, oh, they're old. They are old outside of a couple of players, and this is it. They're done. They're not going to. Who's worse, the Jets or the Cowboys?
The Jets, because of what their expectation was to reverse fortune. We know Dallas is always going to struggle in the postseason. We just expect them to win 10 or 11 games and maybe get there. And this is on Mike McCarthy. It's also on Jerry Jones. You did not sign your coach to an extension. You knew he was a lame duck. Well, he's going to be quacking elsewhere in just a few weeks. It's also on Jerry for not building up the running back room and trusting guys like Zeke and then the ghost of himself and also the ghost of Dalvin Cook. And it's also paying Dak Prescott $60 million a year to throw 6 interceptions in your last 3 games. Joe, this was a single score game, right? But we've seen the Cowboys do this a few times, be absolutely blitzed out of a game, and then Dak's a yard merchant and comes back and throws a touchdown, so he's great from the props, but not good in the wins and losses. That's what happened last night. Third consecutive games with 2 interceptions for Dak Prescott. They were up at the break. San Francisco scored all 21 points in the third quarter. The Niners hold on. To your point about Brock Purdy, how would he play without all of these offensive pieces at his disposal? Clean, 260, a touchdown, did not throw an interception this week. Isaac Garendo, the rookie running back out of Louisville via Wisconsin, 85 yards and a touchdown. Brock Purdy used his legs for a score in 56 yards as well. San Francisco, second best price to win the NFC, back to a divisional favorite in the NFC West. I'm not sure you feel overly optimistic if you're the 49ers, but in a game they had to have, they got it.
Yeah, they did get it. They got the win in the cover, and you saw the line movement, right? I was shocked that it was 4.5. To be honest with you, with all the concerns. And then you saw 5.5s creep into the market. They were like begging you to take Dallas, right? At the start of the game, how could you not take a team that was 3-0 on the road? And somehow, some way, they're just like the Jets. They found a reason to lose it. And again, the biggest problem is the defense. Dan Quinn is winning in Washington. Mike Zimmer doesn't have any answers.
Second worst scoring defense in the NFL, the worst rushing offense in the National Football League. That's the Cowboys, and it's not a recipe for success. Every other game on the Sunday slate in our next 20 minutes or so, next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Some very large upsets on the Sunday slate, but none bigger than what the Cleveland Browns did to the hottest team in the NFL yesterday. That's the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens entered on a 5-game win streak. The Browns with a new quarterback in Jameis Winston on a 5-game losing skid. But that is why you trust Jameis Winston. We saw the Jameis experience for a full Sunday pregame interview, pregame huddle with the boys, not realizing that the Browns had no helmet decal and still getting them hyped up to go win a game. He throws it 41 times for more than 330 yards and three touchdowns, including the 38-yard game winner to Cedric Tillman under a minute remaining. The Browns win a game at home against the flock, 29-24. Joe, outright as a 7.5-point underdog.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all week we knew that Jameis potentially would be able to take shots over that secondary. And what does it say that now two backup quarterbacks, Joe Flacco last year and Jameis Winston this year, have been able to throw for 300 yards and the quarterback who suffered an Achilles tendon tear hasn't thrown one in over 2.5 years in a Browns uniform? 330. He looked like he was dealing back in Tallahassee with Jimbo Fisher and Dalvin Cook. I mean, give me a break.
Hide the crab legs, brother. What? Hide the crab legs if this is the Jameis we're about to get. Come on
now. Does he have a chance to win this job? I mean, like, big picture?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what the plan for the Browns is going to be next season. I'll tell you this, what it means for Deshaun Watson, despite the dead cap hit that he is going to provide. Sorry, Jimmy, you wrote the check. You got to keep cashing it. Deshaun Watson's never playing another game as a member of the Cleveland Browns. We got the full Jameis experience in two plays. Did not throw an INT with his gunslinger mentality, but should have had one to Kyle Hamilton, basically lofted him the football. The outstanding Baltimore safety dropped it. Maybe it was too easy. Very next play, the 38-yard game winner to Cedric Tillman. The Browns, their second win of the year, over 44.5. We saw some points as we thought we might. Lisa Guy, for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson still playing at a great level. Derrick Henry, 73 yards yesterday, but only 11 attempts. Season low in terms of the amount of carries he has had this year. And in the five-game win streak, at least 92 yards in all five wins. That dropped off just a little bit for the flock. Are you concerned at all, Lisa Guy? Baltimore's lost two games this year as more than a touchdown favorite against the Raiders and the Browns outright.
Yeah, I am a little concerned because I said pregame that I thought the Baltimore Ravens were potentially one of the best teams in the NFL ripping off five straight games, right? They won five straight by an average margin of like 9.5 points per game. But the teams that they beat Dallas in Big D, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, you know, that long list of teams. And Derrick Henry was a main component and a reason why. When you see that 11 carries, I'm a little concerned. Are they preserving them for a playoff run, or did they just overexceed and get worn out from just the schedule? So that is a cause of concern. I thought I liked the Browns with the points, but I didn't think the Browns would pull the game outright. To see them put up 29 and win the ball game outright, that's a cause of concern. You can't play down to the level of competition if you're, in fact, the best team in the AFC or the NFL, for that matter.
And the Ravens have now gone over a ton this year in seven of eight games. Baltimore scoring defense is allowing more than 26 points per game. That's seventh worst in the NFL. Lisa Guy, the Ravens still have the second best price to win the AFC. The two teams on either side, we start with the favorites. The Chiefs remain the only undefeated team in the NFL, now a perfect 7-0. They win 27-20. They were up by two touchdowns late. Gardner Minshew does score lead a touchdown drive with just over 2 minutes remaining. But there was a lot of talk in this game. Of course, last year, Antonio Pierce led Las Vegas as the interim to a huge upset in Arrowhead on Christmas Day. He has said there will be Jordan rules for Mahomes. Make it tough on the guy. Rough him up a little bit. Patrick Mahomes is 11-2 against the Raiders in his career. He is a perfect 6-0 inside Allegiant Stadium. So much for those Jordan rules.
Yeah, I mean, the Jordan rules, I mean, come on. You know, the problem is that when you look at Pat Mahomes and you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, all they do is win, right? And it doesn't matter who's around them. Las Vegas, for me, I thought would be live from the spread perspective. And Gardner Minshew, again, had the team competitive. But the turnovers, games on the line, you're down seven. Minshew scrambles, he fumbles. Yep. You know, all of a sudden now you're instead of potentially tying that game up and going to overtime, you're down 14 points. So another team, they have glimpses. They're a covering machine for the most part, right? But they don't win these games outright. They don't win the games outright, and that's the problem for Antonio Pierce. They're in the market for a quarterback, and at the end of the day, the defense at times shows greatness. Other times, they just lay an egg, and that's with Max Crosby and all the defensive weapons. So, you know, but credit Kansas City. They, no matter who plays for them, Kareem Hunt could be a high school kid. They produce for some reason.
They keep winning games. This was just the second time in their seven wins they did not cover the number because of that late touchdown. Mahomes has thrown an interception in all seven games, nine total this year. But yesterday, multiple touchdown tosses for the first time since week number three. Travis Kelce, 90 yards and a score as well. The Buffalo Bills, that third best price in the AFC, but they look like a legitimate conference contender as well. Three straight wins for Buffalo, a cover in all three. They hammer the Seahawks in the Northwest yesterday, 31-10. Buffalo covers as a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, they grounded it out. I mean, you saw the Keon Coleman gets the touchdown. Now everything's open now with Amari Cooper in that offense. Dalton Kincaid, Josh Allen. And if there was ever going to be a team built for like cold wind, rainy type of elements, it was the Buffalo Bills, right? They play in that all year, right? And so they were acclimated. And this is more about where Seattle is. It's a dominant road win. I thought Buffalo would win. But Seattle is just, in my opinion, a 500 football team. Not running the football with Kenneth Walker, DK out of that lineup. I mean, they're one-handed. And Geno coming back to earth as well.
Geno Smith was the leading rusher yesterday. The Seahawks did not break through 40 yards on the ground. Joe, to your point, Seattle started 3-0, felt a little bit fraudulent. They dropped their next three games. They pull off the upset last week in Atlanta. Now they're 4-4 and just 2-5-1 against the spread. They feel like a middle-of-the-pack, mediocre 500 football team or so this season. Elsewhere around the National Football League, Joe, the Chiefs are the only remaining undefeated team. The Ravens still are going to be good. Buffalo looks like a true conference contender, but the best team in the NFL at this moment might be the Detroit Lions. They absolutely paced the Titans yesterday, 52-14, easily covering as an 11.5-point favorite. Joe, my favorite stat of this game, Jared Goff throws for 85 yards, and his team still scores 52 to beat the opposition big. The Lions are 6-1, and they look the part of a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, focus, right? You know, you always worry about losing an NFC championship game and coming back the next year and saying the mindset. Are they hungry or are they dialed in or are they just walking through the motions? Detroit looks like they're, again, the huntee, right? They don't look like the hunted. They're coming into these games focused offensively and defensively. They're doing it in special teams with the punt and kickoff return for a touchdown. You name it, they're doing it on both sides of the football. Tennessee tied that game 14 up. Calvin Ridley had 100 yards in the first half. They're like, hey, you want to run up tempo? We'll run up tempo. No problem. You blink, and they put up 21 points. That's a dominant effort. They are, in my opinion, the best team in the NFC heading into week number 9.
They are the conference championship favorites still in front of San Francisco. The Lions have covered in all six wins this year. Detroit with Dan Campbell as its head coach is 43-18. That's a cover percentage of 70.5. No other team is covering in more than 61% of games. The Lions, a cover and winning machine. More FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle. Lazy guy elsewhere around the NFL. A few more upsets on Sunday, despite Tua Tagovailoa returning for Miami, despite the Dolphins scoring more than 20 points for the first time all year. The Arizona Cardinals have now won three of their last four games outright as an underdog in all three. The Cardinals come back to win 28-27 in South Florida. Miami now just 2-5 this year and only 1-6 ATS. They've lost outright four times as a favorite this season. And Chad Ryland, who was a fourth-round pick out of Maryland by the Patriots last year, they spent a fourth-round pick on a kicker and then cut him. He's played for Arizona in four games. He has hit the walk-off game-winning field goal in three of four. The Cardinals are 4-4, Lisi guy, and continue to perform well against the number when booked as a dog.
Yeah, you know, Jonathan Gannon doesn't get enough credit for being a solid head coach. He might not be an elite head coach, but I could tell you what he does. He gets the players in the locker room to play for him, and that's with Kyler Murray, and that's without him. Look at last year with Josh Dobbs, right? I mean, there were, like, lapses in that game. I watched a majority of the second quarter straight through the end of the ball game, and obviously Tua had no residual effects. He was running it, sliding, hitting, you know, open wide receivers. Tyreek Hill made some plays. They got Waddle involved in the third quarter. But I've said this time and time again, there's no killer instinct with the Miami Dolphins, especially from a defensive perspective. They give up the big touchdown to Marvin Harrison Jr. Great catch, by the way. And Kyler Murray extended plays with his legs. Every throw was short to intermediate for the most part. He took shots when necessary, but they can't stop the run. They can't shut down anything. They're not physical enough. Again, our best player, Christian Wilkins, is no longer on the team. The defense has no mentality, and the head coach doesn't make in-game adjustments. And I'll continue to beat this drum. I do not believe Mike McDaniel is a good head coach. He's just a good play caller and pre-game game planner. When the game plan doesn't go well in-game, he has no idea how to adjust. And that's why the Dolphins are 2-5.
They led by double digits midway through the third quarter. They were up 27-18 in the final 10 minutes of the game. It was one of those games early, Joe, that just felt chaotic. Another one in Tampa. Huge game in the NFC South between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. Atlanta had a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. The Buccaneers clawed their way back to make things interesting, but a Hail Mary attempt for the Bucs sails out of the end zone. Atlanta wins 31-26, covering as a 1.5-point road favorite against the shorthanded Buccaneers. But Joe, most importantly, the Falcons sweep the Bucs in this NFC South season series. Atlanta is 5-3 in first, only technically a game in front of the Bucs, who are now at 4-4. That's really a 2-game advantage, and Atlanta will have the upper hand all season long.
Yeah, again, this is the time for Atlanta to seize the division, especially with Godwin and Evans out of that lineup. You might as well just go full bore ahead and try to win it by the, you know, Thanksgiving, right? I mean, that's unfortunate. We knew that Tampa Bay was at a disadvantage. Trey Palmer didn't step up. We didn't see a lot of Jalen McMillan, you know, consistent in the offense. Rashad White and Bucky Irvin were the two bright spots. But outside of that, when you fall behind, the defense got gashed as well. You know, Kirk Cousins and that offense had their way for much of that game. They led and had a lead for much of the first half into the second half, and they were playing catch-up. It's unfortunate because if Evans and Godwin are in that lineup, I think it's a different outcome, but it's unfortunate where Tampa Bay is right now.
Yeah, the Bucs shorthanded, and it does not seem to be getting any better anytime soon. Tampa was 9-4 against the spread as an underdog last year in its first with Baker. 7 outright wins. They won outright in their first 2 games as an underdog this season. They've now not covered in 3 straight, over in 5 in a row. Kirk Cousins, 276, only 6 incompletions, and had 4 touchdown tosses. The Falcons in pole position in the NFC South. Elsewhere, Lisi guy, in that early window, a game that was moved up to accommodate 1-2 in Washington. Bengals and the Eagles. Cincy without T. Higgins, still a slight home favorite against Philadelphia. Cincy had won 3 of its last 4. The Eagles were 2 games above 500, but nobody was feeling overly positive about Philadelphia. Maybe that now changes. The Birds win big, 37-17, winning outright as an underdog, over 47.5. The Bengals now 0-4, both straight up and against the spread at home this year. We'll talk about the Bengals' playoff outlook, but Joe, the Eagles, now 5-2, starting to look the part of a true contender.
Yeah, they stepped up. And again, it wasn't the rushing attack. It was Jalen Hurts. He threw for like 239 in that ball game. You saw him, you know, check down to Calcaterra, the tight end. He utilized all of his options. He played well within the scheme. And the biggest takeaway for me is now the defense, right? Even without T. Higgins in that lineup, the defense now holds Joe Burrow to 17 points. It's now three straight weeks we've seen that defense come and bounce back into form. Cleveland, New York. I thought both of those were like, you know, conservative and one-dimensional offenses. This offense we knew could throw it, and they still held them to 17. Dynamic effort. I'm buying back into the Philadelphia Eagles. Don't tell our co-host that, because they consider me the mush on the Eagles, you know, buying it wholeheartedly.
They might not like that, but the Eagles are 6-1 to win the NFC now, third best price. Jalen Hurts, 4 total touchdowns, only 4 incompletions, 3 on the ground. Saquon Barkley did not score, but had 108 yards, 6 time in 7 games for the Birds this year. That Saquon Barkley has had at least 100 scrimmage yards. Elsewhere, Lisey Guy, let's go to a matchup in the AFC South. The Texans hold on to beat the Colts 23-20. Indy does cover as a 4.5-point road underdog. The Texans have not been great covering numbers with C.J. Stroud, but he did bounce back 86 yards against the Packers 2 weeks ago, 285 yesterday. The story is the other quarterback, Anthony Richardson, 10 of 32. For 175 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. A completion percentage, Joe, of 48.5%. We'll get your thoughts on this on the other side, because this was the worry for AR leaving Florida. His only 4 years as a starter, he had a 53.8% completion percentage. Some final thoughts from Sunday. Quick preview of Monday night next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We'll wrap up the Sunday slate and preview Monday night here in our next few minutes. Lisi Guy, as we were talking about the Texans and the Colts, Houston wins 23-20, but Indianapolis might have some quarterback issues. Anthony Richardson, in his 6 fully healthy games this year, has thrown for 10 completions or less in 5 of them. And then outside of the poor passing performance yesterday, 10 of 32, he checked himself out of the game after 2 scrambles because he said he was tired. Not a good thing for Indianapolis.
No, you need conditioning, and you got to be dialed into the season in respect to that. Anthony Richardson, as you know, we talked about it in College Football Today, completion concerns and inconsistency. Yeah. That aside, you're a professional now. Either you're bought in to your craft, and as a quarterback, you need to complete. That's a high school line, Ben, 10 of 32, right? I saw you tweet out, what was he, 2 of 15, 81 yards with an interception? I mean, come on. What are we talking about? And then on top of it, you check yourself out? What leader does that? I mean, come on. Yeah. Would Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes do that unless they're scraping themselves off the ground? Come on. No. It's a joke.
I mean, he said after the game, I'm not going to lie to you, I was winded. AR, you probably should have lied to them.
Listen, where's
and
the
said
publisher?
Been...
Where's the PR person for the Colts?
Not great, Joe. Not great right now for Indianapolis, despite being 4-4. Green Bay wins yesterday in Duval. Not great for another AFC South team in Jacksonville that is just 2-6 and looks rather lifeless. The issue for Green Bay, Jordan Love injured his groin, re-aggravated it continuously throughout the game, had to exit early in the second half. But Malik Willis, 4 of 5 for 56 yards, a touchdown, 23 yards on the ground. He's been great when Green Bay has needed him. The Packers are 6-2. They don't cover slightly as a 3.5-point dog in Jacksonville, but they get a big win.
Yeah, and when Josh Jacobs is running the football, that helps, right? But, you know, Matt LaFleur, underrated coach, coaches up quarterbacks and has a game plan defined and identified the weaknesses of opposing defenses. He does it each and every week. That's why they won. On top of coaching up Malik Willis, guys rejuvenated in Green Bay.
Yeah, he had no touchdown passes in his 2 years in Tennessee. He's got a touchdown pass in every game he has played for more than two possessions for Green Bay. The Chargers handle the Saints 26-8. Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener don't matter. Saints offense is lifeless. The Chargers bounce back with a win and a cover as a touchdown favorite. Lisa Guy, quickly here. You and I, sick individuals for thinking the Panthers could cover even as a 10-11.5-point favorite in Mile High. Bo Nix and the Broncos look really good right now. They're a perfect 3-0 against the number when booked as the favorite. The Panthers, Bryce Young was back. Whoopee, it's not good.
No, it's not. Bryce Young, you know what? Start thinking about other careers. He had 100 yards with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and he put up 125 in garbage time. And J.C. Horn, shut up. You know, stop talking. You know what? Running up the score, make believe you're at South Carolina and Alabama did that, you know, with Nick Saban. You wouldn't say that, you know, to Sean Payton. Just play football. These guys, stop worrying about the TikToks. Get in the film room, worry about your craft, and play. These guys are ridiculous. I'm tired of it, Ben. I'm tired of it.
The Broncos didn't score in the fourth quarter, if it makes J.C. Horn feel any better. The Panthers did to make it even a two-touchdown game when really it was all Denver all day. Quickly here, Lisa Guy, Monday Night Football in the Steel City to end out Week 8. Pittsburgh and New York, that being the Giants. Steelers, 5.5-point favorite, over under 36.5. What's the best bet?
Best bet is Devin Singletary laddered it up from 50 to 90 rushing. You could get the 90 rushing at 13-1. I take it a shot. The only way the Giants stay in the game is if they run the football. Everybody looking at Najee. Look at Devin Singletary. Two back-to-back weeks, subpar. I think the Giants cover. Under comes in and give me Singletary. My best bet tonight. Why are you laughing? Why?
I really didn't know where you were going to go there, but I didn't expect it to be Devin Singletary after how abysmal the Giants offense has been the last 2 weeks, 10 combined points. Singletary has been non-existent. Tyrone Tracy might be their best back, and the Steelers. See, me saying all of these things to enlighten our listeners is just making you happier. Listen, I like Najee Harris on the other side. The Giants against decent rush. I can't even talk. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Show returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time, here on Sports Grid Radio.